News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Time now is 2:24 PM. Copper, you just put something up on the board. What was that from liveaction.org that you got up on the board there?
Oh, yeah, that was a story that broke down a lot of violence from pro-abortion supporters against pro-lifers. What stood out to me was that they are threatening to attack pro-lifers in their homes.
In their homes?
Yes, or in their cars, or in their workplaces.
I don't think those goobwads understand what's going to happen if that occurs. They're going to find some occasional victims, and they're going to find some people that are going to, A, run them over with the cars, or B, are heavily armed. I mean, in the same week we got Roe v. Wade, we also had an expansion of gun rights. Just keep that in mind. I'm not calling for violence, but what I'm saying is, it's like my monologue. You can only go so far, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the group, Jane's Revenge, and the exact quote was, "We will hunt you down and make your lives a living hell. So far, it's just been pregnancy crisis centers, but tomorrow might be your cars, your homes, or even your lives. Expect us."
Well, you know what? You can expect a response.
yep.
But I'm just, you know, these people just amaze me. It's the same. I mean, the whole first part of my triple dipper, and you heard it, Copper, is trash talk, tantrums, and freakouts. That's what we're looking at right now. And I will have some breaking news first before I go too much further. I gotta jump into some of that because things are happening right now in the news that I got to make sure you guys are aware of that are not even part of the triple dipper per se. One of them is. So yeah, let me do that. Breaking news story just before we went on the air. Well, I take it back. No, he's right about 2 hours ago. By the way, I just hosted Sean Sullivan's show for 2 hours in Mobile. So I'm like 5 hours of radio today. Woohoo! So try to keep my head on straight. Who am I talking to right now? But the reality is this. A story just broke in the last couple hours. Another Supreme Court victory for conservatives. This is big doings, y'all. So yeah, literally, the Supreme Court of the United States sided with the plaintiff in the case of the football coach from Washington State who was fired for praying on the field. Keep in mind, he was not rallying up the students to pray with him. He was making nobody pray with him. There are times when he would kneel on his own and just thank God for the day, for the game, and then go about his way. But they fired him. Well, that was enough. You know, at some point, like I said, you only push so far. He was shocked. He says that in his own responses. But he was shocked to see his own case go to the U.S. Supreme Court. And they ruled just today in his favor, which we'll talk about in more detail with my friend Matt Clark from the Center for Law and Liberty. But basically, they ruled in his favor. And in essence, this may expand the capabilities of Christians or people of other faiths to serve in public and not be denounced for their faith on public time. I mean, you can't separate the faith from the person if the faith is real. I used to have haters that would say to me things like, you know, when it came to pro-life laws and that kind of thing, you got to stop inflicting your faith upon people. I'm not inflicting my faith on anyone as a state senator. I'm not inflicting my faith on anyone. But you can't separate who I am from my faith. I got elected because of, you know, who I am. And in part, that's my faith. So, yeah, good ruling, breaking news there today. Other breaking news, and I tell you what, I'll hold this till after the break, but other breaking news deals with the decisions coming from the Alabama Republican Party about the races that were being contested. You know, last week we spent a lot of time talking about the fact that there were races being challenged, and we may still have some additional discussion with people who have been involved in those challenges. Not today, but other days. But so the Alabama Republican Party met this past weekend. Folks, I got to tell you, I have never seen anything like this. I've never seen anything like this. The very idea that a single vote is what determined the potential winner for an entire state Senate race that covers multiple counties. Well, they had the hearing Saturday. And when you hear the outcome, some of y'all are probably already aware, but some of you are going to hear the outcome right after this next break and think, what? That's the way it works? Well, apparently this is the way it works, and that's by statute. Now, there may still be, you know, potential legal action available, but right now I'm gonna just blow your mind in a few minutes with a breaking news story about how the Alabama Republican Party, by statute, following the law, is going to decide who becomes the next state senator for Senate District 27 here in Alabama. All right. Well, I know we're up for a break. I don't hear the music. Ah, there it is. Bottom line is, folks, 1.5 hour is already gone. We got more stuff than I can do in one show. But I got the best audience for it. Y'all stay tuned. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So we got breaking news. A moment ago I told you about the breaking news from the Supreme Court. I've got breaking news. I say breaking, it happened over the weekend, but it's, you know, breaking for the show. But then I got to tell you, Copper, I got a breaking news piece.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, this came out on AL.com. Apparently it's been a week now, but they just disclosed it. But Conservancy of Southwest Florida does an annual Burmese python hunt in the Everglades.
Yeah.
It's an invasive species. It was introduced somewhere along the line and it just went hog wild. And anyway, they just caught the largest ever Burmese python.
Ooh. How big was it?
18 feet long, goodness. 215 pounds.
It
shattered the previous records. It is the largest python ever captured. I saw a picture of it laying on, they killed it. I saw a picture of it laying on the table. I've seen, the head of this thing is bigger than some dogs.
Oh,
I mean, just like, okay, this thing could wrap itself around a Volkswagen. It's just unbelievable. And it was carrying 122 eggs. It was pregnant. It had 122 eggs. Lord God. So anyway, there's,
It's moments like these that I realize why God said, subdue the earth. That snake has been subdued.
And don't camp in the Everglades. There we go. All right. Golly. All right. Hey, before I get into my triple dipper, I got to tell you, the other piece of breaking news that I mentioned was what happened this past weekend with the Alabama Republican Party. So you may recall on the show last week, several times we talked about the fact that there were a number of challenges, actual contests to election results in primaries. So it's not quite the same as a general election contest where you go straight to court. In a primary, the by statute, under Title 17 of the state code, the state party is the determining body, at least at first. And so a number of challenges were held. Just so you know, quickly, June 25th, the hearing date, the election contests for House District 29 and 30 were denied. That means that soon-to-be Representative Mack Butler and soon-to-be Representative Mark Gidley will go unchallenged into the general election this fall. So there's that. However, the odd one, the crazy one, the one that just boggles my mind is what happened in State Senate District 27 down in Lee County. You remember we talked about it last week. The difference of one vote. The incumbent was down by one vote. And literally, it came down to the fact that one voter, remember we had Brian Taylor on the show last week, one voter, he was the attorney for her, Miss Patty, I've forgotten her last name now, Stinson? Anyway, the bottom line is she believed that her vote had been wrongfully not counted because she had done everything possible to register to vote. She and her husband did it together. He was on the voter list. She was not. So she voted provisional, but they wouldn't count it. So they went to the hearing before the state party this weekend. The state party decided her vote should have counted. One vote, one person. Her vote should have counted. What does that mean? That means the vote is now tied. An entire state Senate district is now tied, neck and neck. No difference in the vote counts. Nobody else out there with a challenge that was done in time. One lady has brought the vote. Boom. It's now tied. What does that mean? Well, the state party released a press release, which I'm holding in my hands. It says the Alabama Republican Party has the authority to pick its nominee in the event of a tied primary. In this case, ALGOP candidate committee voted in favor of having Chairman John Wall resolve this tie by lot in accordance with Alabama Code 17-12-23. What does that mean? He's going to flip a coin. Y'all, can you imagine? He's going to flip a coin to decide who is the next state senator. It says the ALGOP is currently working with both candidates to determine a date and location for the tiebreaker. Once that has been established, members of the media will be notified. I have never heard of this before. I know it's possible. What I'm saying is I've never heard of it happening. Could I decide an election by a coin flip? Wow. I do think, if I remember right, I do think this happened in a sheriff's race, maybe in Jefferson County. And they had to do a coin flip. But can you imagine? All right. Copper, what'd you have? You had a caller? Oh, what did Brian say?
Oh, he was just wanting to make sure that the python didn't actually have a dog leash hanging out of its mouth.
It could have had a person's leg hanging out of its mouth. It was so big. I mean, that thing could have had a Prius hanging out of its mouth. It was so big. Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right, we're going to move to number one on the Triple Dipper. So, yeah, you know, I said it in the opening of my monologue, this has been some more kind of a week for the Supreme Court. Wow. Not the least of which, in fact, let's go ahead and say it, the biggest decision of all of them, the real attention getter, is the fact that in Dobbs v. Jackson, help me with the name, Copper, Dobbs v. what? Jackson Women's Healthcare. That's it.
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah.
Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Healthcare Organization. The Mississippi case, they reversed all standing abortion law that was founded through Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood v. Casey. Praise God. However, the left's meltdown has been of epic levels. Like, not even a little bit. Like, wow. Like, I'm calling it trash talk, tantrums, and freakouts. And what's amazing to me, too, is when you see them literally say, well, that branch of government should not be allowed to do what it does. What? Do you even understand what you just said? Well, that branch of government should be disciplined. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. Well, that branch of government needs to be changed. How about no? I mean, I'm imagining that a lot of these people are the ones who grew up being given participation trophies, and everybody's a winner. It doesn't work like that in real life. Thank you very much. So then you begin to look and see, it's amazing too, not just the fringe, not just the TikTokers, not just the Antifa radicals who need another excuse to go burn something. No, it's even elected officials and, oh, by the way, the heads of various executive branch departments. What are y'all thinking? It doesn't work like this. But however, here's one for you from Stars and Stripes. Those of you in the military are familiar with Stars and Stripes. StarsandStripes.com, dated Friday, the very same afternoon that the opinion came out. The very same afternoon, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin vows to maintain the military's access to abortion despite the end of Roe. So here's the deal. You've got a cabinet-level position, the Secretary of Defense, who is looking at the third branch of government and saying, I don't intend to go by your ruling. Remember, the ruling specifically said, the matter has been handed back to the people and their elected representatives. And so an unelected representative, a Secretary of Defense, an appointee of the current Biden administration, he decides to go ahead and immediately put a policy in place that says, in his words, quote, the department is examining this decision closely and evaluating our policies to ensure we continue to provide seamless access to reproductive health care as permitted by federal law, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said in a statement Friday. He said, I'm committed to taking care of our people and ensuring the readiness and resilience of our forces. I mean, first of all, why do they call it reproductive health care? You're stopping reproductive health care. You're shutting down the reproduction of people. But nonetheless, I digress. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin is of the mind that if his people need an abortion, they'll get it right there in a military facility. Just, you know, we don't care where you are. Redstone Arsenal, Anniston Army Depot, Maxwell Air Force Base, Fort Rucker, name the spot. Federal lands, we'll do what we want to do. Coast Guard Station Mobile, we'll just put an abortion clinic right there on federal land. I have no respect for this. But it gets worse within the same article. In terms of the tantrums and the trash talk and the freakouts, one observer says the decision will weaken the nation's security. No, it won't. It won't. I got news. It won't. It will not. Janessa Goldbeck, a Marine Corps veteran and veterans advocate, said in a news release Friday, "It has taken a wrecking ball to military readiness. America will be less secure as a result." Shut up. The court's decision allows political bodies such as legislatures or Congress to enact laws protecting, restricting, banning abortions. But she goes on to say that federal law, which does through TRICARE and medical services, you know, when it comes to matters of rape, incest, or a woman's life being in danger, allow for abortion procedures within a military installation. They want to expand that. Goldbeck says service members and their families who require abortion care for any other reason must go off base and pay out of pocket for these services. I got news. There is no requirement for abortion care for any other reason. There's not. You're looking at elective abortions. You're looking, Ms. Goldbeck, you're looking at the ability of an individual to electively choose an abortion. And you're saying that, let me just read her words. "As of today's ruling, tens of thousands of military troops and their families are now stationed in states where abortion is banned and criminalized. This is a significant cost, not only to service members, but to forcing troops to take significant leave from their post." No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. Let me just do some quick explaining. The same people that were willing to reduce the U.S. military by tens of thousands for not having taken a questionable COVID vaccine are now saying that military readiness will be impacted if they can't have an abortion clinic outside the main gate. That is asinine. There is zero common sense built into that logic, that illogic. There is nothing about our national security that is impacted on whether or not someone has a 3-hour drive to get an abortion or a 3-minute drive to get an abortion. And by the way, I believe that the population of our military is perfectly capable of handling things such that abortions are a minimal impact on day-to-day life within the uniformed services. Minimum. And the idea that we're going to say in the midst of these tantrums and freakouts that abortion care impacts military readiness, well, it's coming from the same people that deal with vaccine mandates in the uniformed services that claim that racism and climate change are the existential threats to our military's capabilities, are now also claiming that the lack of abortion care somehow means our military is less ready. Copper, take us to a break for I have myself a complete meltdown. It's laying on thick, y'all. It is laying on thick. But you know what? That's what they're known for. The liberals have never truly been known for their common sense responses to things they don't like. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, I got a caller on line 3 that hung on through the break, so let me just grab that real quick. Victor from Huntsville. Victor, how you doing today?
I'm good, Phil.
Good. What's on your mind?
This is Victor Lima.
Yeah, man.
And, hey, you know, the left wants to talk about military readiness. Maybe they need to be reminded that about 3 months ago, they put into place a policy that said it was kind of like a Family Care Act, and said that, and you know, I'm not sure if it includes both males and females, when this happens, that, you know, when a family has a baby, we need to take care of them. And so part of it is, like, if the member is in the reserves, let's say, for 4 months, they are exempt from doing any training, but yet they're still supposed to get paid during that time.
Yeah.
So they're not training. They're not being ready. The other thing it included was for 12 months, and this is, I think, applies more to active duty, for a 12-month period after the birth of the child or the adoption, they are exempt from doing any training that would require them more than one night away from home. So they can't go on field exercises. They can't go on any kind of, you know, training events that would prepare them, make them militarily ready to serve, let's say, overseas if something were to happen and they were needed in a deployment. So they didn't mention anything about military readiness when they put that policy in place. So now all of a sudden military readiness is an issue when it comes to an abortion? I don't understand, Phil.
No, I don't either. It makes it's apparently a kinder, gentler army, by the way, nowadays. But nonetheless, I agree. And like, you look at what they did with the vaccine mandates, too. How many people lost their careers for not getting a shot? What did they do to military readiness then?
They're about to push out about 60,000 National Guard and Reserve troops on June 30th as the deadline to get vaccinated.
Oh man, I'm telling you, this is out of control. Hey, Victor Lima, thank you for what you do and thanks for your service. We appreciate you as always on social media too. Thanks, bud. All right, listen, that's true, and you know, the COVID vaccine mandates in the military ended careers. Ended them. It didn't matter what stage of your career you were in. Didn't matter how many millions of dollars they may have spent training you. And by the way, don't laugh when I say that. The amount it cost to get a basic trainee through basic training is significant enough. You want to get a fully qualified Special Forces medic or a Navy SEAL? You know what it takes to train them? Unreal amounts of money. And time. And oh, by the way, experience, because they don't walk in the door day one as a recruit and go to BUDS or go to the Q course. They don't. They have to have some measure of seniority and time in service before they typically go to some of those more advanced special operations schools. And so, like, for instance, I've said on the show multiple times, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, somebody can correct me if they know better, but I believe there's roughly only about 2,500 Navy SEALs on active duty at any given time, roughly. When you had several hundred of them declining, which you did, several hundred declining the COVID vaccine mandate, and I want to say roughly 100 involved in litigation over it. Folks, that's a significant piece of readiness in the Naval Special Warfare community. I mean, come on, military readiness. If we don't have an abortion clinic outside the gate, that's just nuts. And the idea that the Secretary of Defense is going to mollycoddle that kind of thinking when he turned around earlier this year and said, well, we do not expect any impact upon readiness with regards to the COVID vaccine mandates. You just heard Victor from Huntsville a moment ago, and he knows. They are literally looking right now at the National Guard, which, by the way, the National Guard, it's not the National Guard of your granddaddy's day, all right? It's not. The National Guard of today is what they consider to be a ready reserve, an active component of the active component. We are looking right now at a world in which the National Guards and Reserves sometimes gets deployed quicker and more often, or at least just as often, as members of the active duty. And so you're gonna degrade that force projection capability of the National Guard. Not only that, but for what it takes for the National Guard to respond to a natural disaster or some other disturbance in their home state. And you're gonna dismiss how many of those? Because they requested a religious accommodation, but you wouldn't even consider it? I'm just saying. I hadn't even scratched the surface yet. Not even scratched the surface on trash talk, tantrums, and freakouts about Roe v. Wade. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We got plenty more where that came from.